I'd like to call the Administrative Finance Committee meeting of June 10th, 2014 to order. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the notes. Before we begin the agenda, I'd like to recognize who's joined us at the table. To my left, I have the Council President, Chris Bullock. I also have the Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Street, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Weiner, Councilmember Diller. That's who's at the table. And with that, I'd like to ask for the approval of the minutes. I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes of the previous meeting of 27th May are approved. We have nothing on the consent calendar. I have nothing under presentations. Moving on to other resolutions, Resolution 14-144. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this is a resolution that I'm bringing forward to extend the tax exempt status to this organization and the district. We have provided each office with a packet. This type of tax exempt status needs to be reviewed by the two departments, one land use and special services. In this case, it did go to land use. Land use reviewed it. It was actually Brian Merritt over there. They issued a positive recommendation for it, seeing that there was no reason why this should not be granted. And then it went over to special services, and special services also concurred that the tax exempt status should be extended for this organization. Both the recommendations are in your packet. We'll say a couple quick words. I mean, the organization does a great service over there. They bring in a lot of kids. They do a lot of mentoring over there. They provide services, give them opportunities to utilize their day, things to do. Even if a child isn't able to afford the equipment, they have it over there. It's there, available, ready, and accessible. They have experienced members there already who are able to mentor and shepherd the children to help them through learning process. It keeps them active, busy, and engaged, and we know what happens when kids go out and find their own things to do. So it's pretty much it. Like I said, it's coming over with positive recommendations out of both departments. So.
And just for the record, let me read the title into the record. This resolution calls for approving the tax exempt status of the Newcastle 100 Archery Club for recreational property located at 2272 Sunset Lake Road, Newark, Delaware, tax parcel number 11010800017.
Excuse me, point of information?
Yes.
I'm sorry,
David. Councilman Weiner, yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. There was a reference to special services and land use analysis.
Yep.
That was in our packets. Is it attached to this resolution?
No, they were provided by my aide.
Okay.
Did your aide give yours?
No.
Okay.
Not your fault or your aide's fault.
Okay.
All right.
We do have it. It's
just for the record, I'd like to recognize that Councilman Bretta, Councilman Powers, and Councilman Bell have joined us. Councilman Smiley, you have a question?
Yes. Yeah, I have a.
Thank you, David.
I want to get a clarification so that Councilman Tackett's not getting his phone rung off the hook or our finance department. On the fiscal note, the $515.97, my question is, if this legislation passes, does it take away the penalty as well? Because according to the website, their balance due is $583.05. So does the penalty automatically disappear, or do we need to clarify that we're taking care of that, that will be taken care of as well? I know it says it's retroactive, but this doesn't match what's on the site, just the penalties there. So I just figured we might be good to clarify now before they...
We very likely may need to. I don't know. We'll have to ask maybe finance or council to council. But I do know that was the understanding, because they were actually informed. Because when the application was submitted last year, it was still under review. It actually kind of got, I don't want to say lost, but it was over there for review, and they actually ended up processing it and actually told them not to pay the penalty, wait till to see what happens with the ordinance. So If you have something to say, though, Chairman, just raise your hand.
Denny Harmon, Department of Finance. And I have the recommendation from law, and it specifically states on there that because it was received before March 1st, 2013, it would be retroactive to June 1st, 2013. So that would delete the taxes, and hence there would be no tax.
Penalty wouldn't be applicable. Okay.
So it would come off also.
Just wanted to clear that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You do this.
Any other questions, comments? Councilman Street.
At some point in time, first of all, I'm going to support this, but at some point in time, somebody explain to me why we as Newcastle County government are holding tax exempt agencies to a higher and different standard than the federal government, state government, and city government. I have not one but two nonprofits, tax exempt federally, tax exempt city. We made a decision that they're no longer engaged in tax exempt purposes. And far as I'm concerned, that those determinations were plucked out of the air by the law department. So why do we keep making tax exempt organizations that have already been established as tax exempt come back and go through these hoops and not go through one, but go through two departments? You got to go through law, you got to go through whatever department is supposedly impacted. I don't understand that the logic and rationale other than being arbitrary and capriciously punitive with tax exempt organizations. So at some point in time, I'd like to have a lengthy discussion about this.
Yes. Go ahead.
Councilwoman House of the Council. This is a little bit different. In fact, it's something I had not seen before, but it's in the code for a recreational tax exemption. It has a different process set up in the code where it has to be approved by the Department of Land Use Assessment Division and then go over to the Department of Special Services to determine that it is, in fact, a recreational use that meets a variety of criteria. So this one is a little bit different than a regular tax exempt application.
Councilman Street.
She makes my point for me. It's our code. We're the lawmakers, okay? I don't agree with the law, nor do I agree with its purpose and intention, and I think we need to change it. Who are we to be holding nonprofit agencies to a higher, different standard than everybody else and repeatedly make them apply? You apply and reapply.
Do you have this? Point well taken. We should engage that in the topic in a future meeting. I agree. Any other question, concerns from members of council about resolution 14-144? Councilman Tack.
Mr. Chairman, given that we did have some members from the club come out to the Finance Committee meeting, just in case any other questions, it seems kind of like straightforward with coming with the recommendations and all, and given the questions that we've had at the table here today, I really don't see any reason to ask them to hang around all afternoon and evening to come back for council unless the council member would see that, so I wanted to just ask kind of like the pulse of the table, because otherwise I'd, if at all possible, let them go ahead and enjoy their afternoon. But
Councilman Smiley.
I'm fine with it. I would just remind you of boats and RVs. Walked out of here with a 9-4 yes, went down on the floor, lost 9-4 no. So.
Any other concerns expressed by members of council about having folks from the nonprofit archery club organization at our council team? Seems like you're going to be okay. Once again, it is the will of council on the floor, and that vote, seven needs to confirm any resolution or ordinance. If you would like to say something, you're welcome to say something right now.
Thank you very much. There's nothing else really to say.
Okay.
Appreciate your consideration.
We appreciate you running a valuable nonprofit like this to provide a positive outlet for you and families. All right, moving right along. Consideration of ordinances. Ordinance 14-055. Appropriate funds from the Garston Trust portfolio to the Garston Trust Fund in order to provide funding for park maintenance for fiscal year 2015 to be administered by the Department of Special Services. Councilman Sheldon?
Yes, you about said it all. We're taking $330. This is the 10th time this has been performed. You take it out of the portfolio, which is interest-bearing, and is moved over to the account to be spent. The Garson Trust Fund was made to provide funding for park maintenance of Newcastle County parks.
Councilman Smiley.
I just want to clarify, it's $330,000, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They have four more.
Oh, what did I say?
Oh, did I? Sorry. Okay, that's a lot big.
I think if that's it, we'll do it twice.
Yeah, he made better interest than we did, I assume.
I'd just like to point out, this remains, I believe, one of the only charitable trusts that benefits county parkland. And truly, these people were doing a great service for our public citizens of Newcastle County.
We have another one coming. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Endowing these funds. One question I had, do we have a picture of the Garson anywhere we could access and put up on screen?
You're always, we need to promote it.
I'd like to try to see if we have anything like that, because really, these people are done a huge public service. Okay, moving along.
Here we go.
All right. Ordinance 14-056, to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation Regarding Taxes for Abatement of Certain Penalties. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just didn't want to get off. The other one you wanted to read in by title. Is that something you wanted to do with this, too?
Yes, thank you.
I did.
I did read it in by title.
Yeah. Okay.
It's all read in.
Good.
For you. Keep up.
Good. All right. There we go. This ordinance is in direct response to council members' voice of concerns and questions they had. So, with the changing of the vendor for the sewer fees for this contractual year, I ended up, for some reason, having about, I mean, it wasn't a huge amount. It was about three constituents in my district who came to my office who had problems, who were adamant over the fact that they had mailed it in. And it never materialized. I know we get that all the time, but there's still no proof there that they did it. And that's what I tried to convey back to them was. And the one gentleman who was a disabled senior citizen, he said, yeah, well, my check before it, I've got it. That check's not there, and the check after it I have, I'm like, but that's still not proof. We have to have something there. But anyhow, what it ended up boiling down to with some other subsequent ones and then going back to finance and asking them to look into it, I think they had a total of 40 or 50 per se or something when they had researched it. I don't know what the number happened, but the only alternative to abate a penalty is to bring it before council. And you're talking about, you know, two branches of government, the staff, the advertisement, you know, everything involved. So I asked, was there some way to work with our council, their legal department, and finance to come up to a way that would allow them to abate penalties in given situations like that, that we didn't have to bring full ordinances for small amounts of money. And like other members around this table before have done, I was proposed to just go over there and pay these and be done with it, you know, and that way, you know, the constituents will be happy and they know in the end of the day, you know, things were taken care of. But since we continue to see that situation arise and the ordinances emerge on our dockets, I sent this over to finance and law to draft up an ordinance that we have before us tonight to look at to allow them to abate small penalties that accrued for under $100. And that's where we're at. And hopefully everybody's okay. Had a chance to read it. Maybe you have questions.
All right, I got a bunch of hands here. Councilman Smiley, why?
Yeah, I'm just curious. You know, my understanding is, you know, this is part and parcel of what council had asked to be looked into earlier, and that Councilman Cartier has been working on with council to council. You know, are we going to do a draft and try to address the concerns that came forward, or are we going to piecemeal it? That's my concern. Because you have been working on this as part of the issue. Matter of fact, Yes. This was what prompted the discussion that we had. So I'm just not sure where this is going. I thought we already had it in the works, a broader piece than this to address the other concerns that kept coming before council.
Well, I know given the sewer bills and being doing the penalties that would be coming with them, there was a bit of an urgency to get it. Now, I wasn't aware what you were working on, and I think you even mentioned to me when we introduced it good job or something, so I'm not really sure, but, you know, I don't know about piecemealing or, you know, but...
Councilor Smiley.
I'm just going to follow up. We sat in this room, it was in this committee, because I made the statement that with things that I was involved in, I asked Councilman Carty on behalf of council if he would take the lead on it and work that legislation, because I didn't think I could give it the due diligence that it needed in that time frame. So, I mean, it was part of council's record.
I've been, you know, busy in the budget process, which, you know, we've now concluded, so...
Well, what do you see with this? Do you think this kind of pretty much...
I want to hear what other members feel. Councilman Weiner?
Yes. First of all, Councilman Tackett, this is improved over the original version that was filed. I still have a smaller concern, but I just share that. First, the first version that was under your sponsorship gave the sole discretion of the councilman of the district with the council president to make a decision about an abatement, and I think that would be a at least the way I read it. I don't know if it was intended that. That would be, I think, not good policy, and also you council members can't delegate their right and duty to just one council person when we all have an equal say. So I see that this has been changed instead to shift it, I think this is a positive, to the finance, chief finance officer, which I think is an improvement. Now, the request is still coming from the district council person or the council president, and I understand that, but the question is, shouldn't other council members know when that request is being made? Simply so that, you know, we're all responsible for all the tax dollars in our treasury, just so that there's some sort of check and balance other than, even though it's a de minimis amount. And some sort of like quarterly report to all of council members. Just so that we see these, much like we get other quarterly reports. Because it's a de minimis amount, $100, I'm glad you kept it low. There's actually a cost-benefit analysis, but it you know, that I think that lid keeping it low is good. I still would be concerned that the perception is that if other council members aren't copied when this request is made, that it might be a you know, it might create mischief, to use that term. So could you consider an amendment simply that council members are copied when the request is made from the district council person to the chief financial officer, just so this is a sort of check? And then if a council member has a question, then you could put down that council member can then ask a question in writing before this de minimis amount is adjusted. And I think other than that, this could sit just as it is with just those minor tweaks. And this is a different way to deal with the issue than the chair of this committee was going to deal with it. I think this may or may not be all-encompassing like the chairman. I'd like to hear what other council members say, but, you know, I would support it just as long as we as a council body could be copied on the request and have an opportunity to be heard to put it on the agenda before it simply gets done.
But certainly wouldn't be averse to that. You know, I had thought about that over the weekend, at least thinking that if it came that at least the council person would be updated and the council president, you know, but certainly updating all of council or sending a report on how many abatements may or may not have, you know, come through the office, I don't think is a unrealistic request.
Right.
And when it first arrived over, it actually came over with a $500
right
number on it, and I didn't think council would have a pulse for that amount of money, so that's why I ratcheted back to about $100, and that really takes care of about any residential penalty that you would see on any bill would
right
absolutely cover
$100. I'm really
I have
glad
questions. I need to move along here.
Yeah, just I want to ask you know, the report after the fact is fine, but before the money goes out, if you could just change that to allow all of council to be copied and an opportunity to be heard, to, you know, pull it off the agenda and just ask a question. I don't think it'll ever happen, but that way we're not, it couldn't be argued that we're unconstitutionally delegating our authority to one council member. It's the Treasury that we're all responsible for.
I think Council, the Council's heard that, and we can discuss it.
Councilman Street?
I disagree wholeheartedly. First of all, I don't think this is a council function. You're paying the finance director what we're paying him to handle $200-some million. And then we're going to sit here and have a $1,000 conversation once a month, twice a month, about $100. The threshold's too low. It's not a council function. If you're going to trust the finance chairperson to handle $200 million, then he certainly ought to have the discretion to, within his or her broad-based discretion, to make a determination about a $500 or $1,000 penalty. That's what you're paying him for. It's not a legislative function. It's an administrative function, and we need to get out of this. And I'm sick and tired of this staff saying, well, we can't do anything about it, but your councilman can. And then they call us. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of hearing it.
That's why this is here.
I agree. Okay.
Councilman Powers, and then Kilpatrick, then Weiner.
Where'd he go?
I agree with him.
Here, a counter argument.
You're saying sewers now. Is this on the regular tax bills, too?
Yeah. Now, up to $100.
The thing that has to be addressed is I had a constituent, I think it was brought up in a meeting that we were all talking about before, Senate check certified. It was signed for by somebody in the world that, because of the company we were contracted with, was towards the end of the contract, that check still hasn't ever showed up. So, you know, if you were in business, as you are, and it was somebody in your office signed for it, you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the constituent.
Mm-hmm.
How are we any different in the real world?
Council Chair?
This is not to you, Bob. I'm looking at you.
Right. Right, well, I'm happy to answer the question.
He's not paying for it.
You didn't do it.
I just
think we got, as maybe Councilman Smiley said, we got to address all these things.
Right.
And there's a real problem.
Are you prepared?
Councilmember Kilpatrick and Councilman Moore.
Yeah.
Thank you. I guess I'm coming kind of from the same perspective that the last two speakers were, that if we, per law, give the administration the ability, the finance department, the ability to do this, that there is absolutely no reason that I think everybody has to be involved. They already abate on certain items that are in the law that give them the ability to do that. They don't bring all of those to us, and there's never been a problem. As far as seeing a report, if at some point, quarterly or whatever, that we saw a report of the number of things that were abated, I wouldn't have a problem with that, because I think, as council, seeing that as a whole, a report that comes over, just like everything that comes over from every other department, then if we look at it and see a trend, then maybe we then go back to the Department of Finance and say, why are we seeing so many in this category or so many in that category that are being abated? But to send every little one over to council, it seems to me we put ourselves right back where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. We have a finance officer who's not elected. He serves well, but he doesn't have a legal obligation to review the legality of the abatements he puts before us. And we had a plethora of tax abatement requests that came to us last fall. We'd never seen them before. I think it was from some churning agency looking for a business. And, you know, the best explanation I could get is it's our job as councilpersons to make the legal decision. We're not attorneys. And we can't make that legal decision. Now, I'm concerned about the fact that if we don't couple this with a review by the law department or finance or the attorney that's assigned to finance, unlike the categories that are enumerated, which are exceptions, we're getting these abatements made by someone who's not elected and the balance of powers with all of us is not in place. Instead, it's simply one council person and the council president. Now, it's a de minimis amount, I know, but I think it sets up a slippery slope for someone who's not elected, that doesn't have a responsibility to review it by law, to be deciding on who gets money and who doesn't, when only the district council person and the council president have the option. Now, I can't imagine that we would ever see a abundance of these matters being called upon on the agenda, but we really constitutionally can't derogate our duty when it comes to money. If matter of fact, if it were going all to the administration and there were an enumerated exception, that would be fine. But we're not talking about tying this to enumerated exception, nor are we tying it to having the document legally reviewed. Now, you remember we had Mr. Tarabikos come in with a client who said, you know, this is just $3,500 and my client's a nice person. That was the reason that was being encouraged. My client's a nice person. Then we had another person from Newark who said, this is just a little old lady and it's only $80 and that person's a nice person. And then we all said, whoa, we got to slow down here. Nice people aren't reasons to create exceptions to the rules that can be blown open by a corporation later on by arguing equal protection. So I've said my piece. I think this, if David were willing to, or Councilman Tacker were willing to copy all the members of council on the request, just not the president of council, I'd be fine with that. As long as we have an opportunity to be heard, someone could pull something off the agenda. Other than that, I don't even need to see the quarterly report afterwards. I just need to know that we're not creating a situation that makes it look like a conflict. And it actually protects the councilman of the district as well as the council president. That's all I have to say.
I guess I would, in light of that, I would just like to direct a question to Councilman Tackett. What about equal protection, and maybe our council attorney, what about equal protection, exempting one penalty over another? What is the standard?
Well, the ordinance laid out a little bit, some criteria in which they could actually do that under. It just didn't give them openly, whatever you want to say, carte blanche, authority to just abate everything comes in the door, And two, another reason, to bring this forward a little bit too is just, like I said, the amount of time and effort and the money that's put into drafting the ordinances and reviewing, but also, when our budgets are drafted, they're drafted on the actual bills, not penalties. So, that's kind of after the fact, but the council did point out the fact that we were talking a little bit about the Councilman Powers was mentioned about the vendors and third party. That's actually one of the reasons in here in the criteria that we set. So we expanded a little bit to show in there. So the ordinance actually does have more criteria. So it's not equal protection. I don't know if you're looking for a legal definition that maybe council could opine, but I mean, like I said, we've set. Okay. We've expanded but set specific criteria here as to why it should be done. It's just not.
Did you want to comment, our council, on that? On the merits of the ordinance?
Well, certainly not on the policy, but I would be glad to opine on the law. Carol Dolan, council. As council member Weiner is aware, and as you already are aware, a legislative body may delegate authority as long as they set forth specific criteria. The ordinance that you were considering, Council Member Smiley was considering, and under Council Member Tackett's sponsorship here, does set forth with great specificity and meets those legal requirements. I believe that Council Member Weiner was speaking to the ordinances that already come before Council. Those that you were speaking to cannot be passed by the President and the resident Council Member. They still must come before Council anyway. So you already consider it, but their Council Member Tackett, and also it was previously, it's still being considered by the two finance co-chairs have added language that states that there has to be special and unique circumstances so that there isn't an equal protection claim. They've added that language, and that if you will look at what is sent over, it is sent over by the Office of Law in conjunction with the Finance Department. And certainly you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that language is in his ordinance that makes it even more specific as to what comes over to this.
Mr. Chair, follow-up question on that.
Well, I have other people in mind, Bob. I'm going to get to you. Okay. Councilman Bell, Kilpatrick, and then Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular piece of legislation, I think the way it's written, what the intent is a good piece of legislation. I'll not only be supporting it, I think when you look at AAA bond ratings year after year after year, it's not by chance. We have an excellent finance department. Empower them and trust them, hold them accountable. And this is a thing here that I think that we can alleviate some of the frustrations that go along with these type of penalties.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I agree with Councilman Bell, and my only other suggestion is that this go to the floor as it's written, and I believe that the criteria is in place. I think that we've done everything that we need to do at this point to assure that it will be handled correctly, and if somebody disagrees, they can bring a floor amendment.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. In light of what I've heard from Council Doolin, the only thing I would like to ask the sponsor to consider would be that all of Council be notified from the District Councilman, not just the Council President.
In the ordinance?
You mean? In other words, when you're doing a notice to the Finance Department CFO, that instead of just only copying the Council President, that all Council members are copied. And that could be done by floor amendment tonight.
Okay.
Ed Miller, excuse me, Mike Coop, CFO.
Thank you. Mike Coop, Finance. I just want to say a few things about this particular ordinance. But I think everything that every council person here said today is probably correct, including Councilman Smiley, what Councilman Smiley was saying about there was going to be a broader ordinance everyone was working on. The importance of this one is because of the dilemma that happened with the Lockbox Company. We have 46 constituents that we know of that called and sounded reasonable, that we know of that have delinquencies. Some of them are only $2.30. Obviously, it's not reasonable to come here, you know, with an ordinance for $2.30. There's some for $8. I actually said I would pay some if this didn't pass. But, you know, understanding that it will pass, because working with Councilman Tackett, too, as he said, I think we sent over $500. There's no need for anything over $100, obviously, when you're sending for $2, $8. But there's other issues that can come up further down the road. I realize that's why we do need a broader measures. But for this one, this will work. We do work with the law department. We get their input, obviously. And any way anyone wants to handle it any further down the road will certainly work. But this is important. The only reason why it's important now is otherwise I'll have 40-some ordinances to bring here for $2 and $3 or $5. Mm. So this will help alleviate that problem. Mm. And there is the problem, as Councilman Powers was talking about, his constituent. The other problem you run into is some of these constituents is they won't stop payment on their check, because they're concerned as to what happens. Mm-hmm. Councilman Powers' constituent, I paid that fee, mm-hmm. because I didn't think they were liable. Mm-hmm. I don't think these people should be liable either. And I told them if it does come up, that I'll take the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they're going to have to pay $35 mm-hmm. to stop paying them. Mm-hmm.
Councilman White.
Thank you. We're not taking any exception to what Councilman Powers had. I'm simply asking, when the district council person is asking any de minimis amount, when he electronically copies the council president, he copies all the council at the same time. That would be the only change that would need to be made. And that can be done by floor amendment tonight, without holding this up at all.
She's going to hit
Counselor, counsel.
Carol Blulin, I think there's a misunderstanding of the process. The, according to the code, the CFO and his department already are authorized to abate certain penalties that are set forth with specificity in the code pursuant to your legislation. There is no notice, the president doesn't get notice of that, nor does the district council person. What you're talking about, I believe, is the ordinances that come over to the district council member for sponsorship that come before you anyway. That's where you heard about the issue in the past. They were there before council. The other ones don't come here.
Right. But as you know, Counsel Doolin, I've been trying to assist your office because it's not your responsibility to make sure that administration initiative legislation is legal as to form and content. So if you're satisfied, then I guess I am as well. I'm just trying to protect our council to council office. Right.
Councilman Smiley.
I believe council to council cleared most of it up for me because I couldn't figure out where I was telling them to do the de minimis amount when they all had. And I think a couple things are being confused because what I'm reading here in 14.05.003 under authority is the council member and or the president receives the application and the supporting documentation. At that time, that individual makes a determination whether to ask for an ordinance to be drafted. Then I could see in that situation where a council member may want the supporting documentation and application along with the ordinance, which I go back to something less with I've asked for when it comes to name changes and things. I've asked to see the petitions. So that might, I thought maybe that's where the confusion was because I didn't see if it was a de minimis amount. I don't even hear about it unless they call the say finance department, said no or said yes. Okay.
All right. Any other? Councilman Tackett.
And also, just to be clear, as far as costs associated with this, any bills that have already been paid, because several residents were told to go ahead and pay the penalty and some were told not to pay the penalty. So just to be clear, this will issue, if anybody had paid the penalty, this will show a credit on next year's. There won't be actual paperwork, envelopes, and checks mailed back for whatever that penalty was. So,
Councilman Smiley.
Then I have a question on that. Where in here does it designate, not that I have a problem with, where in here does it designate the retroactivity and how far back does it go? So how can they legally do it if we don't approve it? That's... It's a question for whoever thinks they're going to give a credit to an account.
I plan on giving a credit on the account, so I'm interpreting it as having been retro only because that's what started it.
But what language are you interpreting to mean that?
I just mean currently. I don't mean 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or anything like that. Actually, any penalties that go back any length of time would exceed $100.
Councilman Tackett.
Well, I'm going to ask council to review this.
I'm just trying to avoid future questions.
Just see if we need an amendment tonight, because I think it should have a time frame there.
Councilman Moretta.
Yeah, I'd ask the sponsor if it could just be the budget year.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to worry about how far back it goes, just the budget year when it comes to us.
Council.
Carol Dooley, Council. You are certainly correct that retroactivity has to be encoded. That was something I was unaware of, and I certainly could draft an amendment for you this evening. I'm sorry, but I didn't understand what you, you mean retroactive to
just
last?
Just to the budget year that we're in.
To the current budget year.
So if we delay it till July, we don't have to give anything back. Motion table.
That doesn't take care of the problem.
It does next year.
Okay. In view of discussion and satisfying this particular case of abating penalties, I mean, I can support this, given if we, you know, specify the retroactivity per an amendment. Councilman Smiley?
I'm just going to say, I mean, I don't have a problem with the legislation, what it does. It's part of what we wanted to do. I do still take exception with the fact that, you know, legislation was being worked on to handle this. You're the one that was working on it. So if you're comfortable with this, I'm comfortable, because it's just a part of what we're doing. So we just have to be leery that going forward, as you complete the process you are doing, that it doesn't create conflict with what we're doing in July.
I'll pay attention to that. Thank you, Councilman Funk.
We don't like conflict.
Councilman Weiner.
Yes, and, you know, I've heard counsel to counsel's explanation. I just want to read this last sentence onto the record and just ask counsel to explain what this means. If the district council member, or in the alternative, the president of county council, believes that unique circumstances, equity, or other factors provide a rational basis for an abatement of penalties, the district council member or council president will ask the Office of Finance to draft a special ordinance to abate the penalties. If I could, end a quote, could I just get an explanation to put that in context so that I understand why that doesn't... It's, and I'm being handed a note that it's modified by the words, shall review the application document submitted.
And that's what they base their opinion on.
But I just want to hear it on the record from the council president. From the council to council.
I apologize. I wasn't really sure what you're saying.
I'm reading the last sentence under the section authority 14.05.00, and then there's a slash out of the one, and a three appears.
So it says, if the district council member believes that unique circumstances, equity, and other factors provide a rational basis for an abatement of penalties, the district council member will ask the Office of Finance to draft a special ordinance to abate the penalties.
Yes.
What's new about that is the concerns that were brought up around this table, that there were some requests that appeared to be or could be perceived to be arbitrary, capricious, and granted. It means that they're not unique or they weren't different. This council believed, for example, and one of the items that was encoded was if something was sent to a third-party vendor, that was a unique circumstance, and that was encoded. There were some other things outside of that bailiwick. So this additional language is added to put a protection in so that there is not a failure to distinguish between something that's different and treating people differently.
Okay. So then, just like attorneys do, in the absurd, so that if one council person says, I like this person, they're really nice, that's what makes it unique. Would that pass muster under this sentence?
Well, certainly that would be for the council as a body to decide.
But the council's not going to know, because only the district council person and the council president gets copied.
It comes before council for a vote. Mm-hmm. There is a distinction between their administrative waiver as specified by council and the special ordinances that council already introduces. So all of council will be aware of it, and as Council Member Smiley stated, the supporting materials would certainly be something that he would like to see, and certainly I would say that the council would like to see and has seen in the past. So this isn't anything new except for putting in some parameters so that there cannot be arbitrary capricious.
So then what I'm hearing from you is my concern has been addressed and that council members will see this information that is based upon the request.
In my personal opinion, yes, but that's a policy decision for this body, but it is put in the law.
Okay, so it's still a policy decision being made by this body?
Correct, okay. Based upon the law.
Okay, well, I'm satisfied that I've made a record of this fact and my concerns. Thank you.
Mr. CFO, Coop?
Mike Coop, Finance. If I may, one more thing to ask is, if we could make this retroactive possibly January 1st, because that's when the new company had taken over. That's when the whole issue had kind of started. Instead of locking it into fiscal year or whatever, it could make it confusing, could take us backtrack to some of the other issues you were talking about. We started with January. This is where it would start, strictly with this, and move forward.
Okay.
We're hearing an affirmative nod from the sponsor.
Yes. I think we made known to the sponsor certain changes that need to be made. Look forward to those amendments. Any other questions, concerns about ordinance 14-056? All right, moving right along. Ordinance 14-059 to declare certain lands owned by Newcastle County surplus and direct their transfer and conveyance to the town of Ellesmere. Councilman Reddick.
Thank you. What this is it goes back into the 70s. The land was purchased with matching funds from the county and Ellesmere from Dr. Foreman, and it was nothing but woods, and they made a park out of it, which was a baseball park and football and soccer and playground area.
Good.
And the town of Ellesmere has been taking care of it ever since. The county has not spent any more money on it since then, and the amount of money that it was purchased with for the county and everything, I think by Ellesmere taking the maintenance on it over the about 40 years, it's well worth it for us to let them keep going what they're doing and just declare it theirs. They want to do a couple things. One thing they wanted to do was put a solar farm in towards the woods area that won't affect any of the homes or the play area.
Okay. Any questions, concern on ordinance 14-059? I had a question, Councilman Reddick. Mm-hmm. So this is currently considered a park of the town of Ellesmere. Is it signed that way? Is there signage on it? Okay. Any questions, concerns? So just to summarize this, we'll just formally transfer our interest in this parcel over to the town of Ellesmere.
Correct.
And they will continue to use it in the manner to which they are.
Maintain it.
Okay. Any questions, concerns? Going once, going twice. All right, that seems to have no issues. Moving right along, we're going to, under other travel requests for Councilman Weiner. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is annual request to attend the National Association of Counties Conference. This year, we have a number of timely issues that challenge our county budget, and unfortunately be the only one representing Newcastle County. There'll be some representatives from Kent and Sussex as well. And pursuant to our policies, I'll make sure to bring back a report and any knowledge I have. So I'll make a motion for approval of this travel request.
A motion, or a second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The travel request is approved. Councilman Weiner, good luck with your Summer NACO conference.
Thank you.
Another round trip one.
Jeez. All right, moving along, we are under grant requests.
For the right number.
I believe. Let me go to my right screen. Okay. Capital Little League, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, as stated, the intent used of the grant is to construct new dugouts. The request is $2,500, so I make a motion for $2,500.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, one not voting. Grant is approved. I know you've been a consistent backer of Capital Little League. That's great work there, Councilman Sheldon. Pencater Heritage Area Association, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Pencater Heritage Area Association is a organization down there in our area off the battlefield of Cooch's Bridge that does a remarkable job on the keepers of the history down there, maintaining the museum. They open it up for a lot of the school kids, and it's actually opened for tours through there to come in to look at the artifacts and the history that they have in there, and they also are inviting people now to come in and just picnic down there. They're leaving their gates open all the time and want you to come in. So anyhow, they made a request to help with some repairs of the signage because funding is very scarce down there for them. With a little bit they have, the job that they do is just amazing. But they made a request for $800 for the signage and repairs, and I make a motion for the $800.
Second. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
One not voting. A grant is approved, and I know that Penn Kate Heritage does great work, and I'm glad you're back. Newcastle County 4-H FFA Livestock Classic. Councilman Bowers.
Yes, this is Newcastle County 4-H and FFA Livestock Show, and they just had the show last week, and partly because they don't have the equipment, they had it. Newcastle County show in Kent County. But they're working on getting monies enough to get the equipment to get the show back into the county. They had more participants, I think, than ever, and more livestock. It's just the same as everything else, keeps kids out of trouble.
Do we have a motion?
Yes, I move that we give $2,500.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant for the Newcastle County 4-H and FFA Livestock Classic is approved. Newcastle County Police, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, and also when I offer this up for the vote of the council, I will need to ask to suspend the rules because we've already given an allotment over to the police already that exceeded the $2,500. So what this is National Night Out. And it's a event that's hosted, you know, nationally all across the country, and they do it in different areas and different jurisdictions. So share some of the other districts, but the officer in our area, Officer Gelati, is one of the ones that would be heading this up, and he came to our office and was talking about it. So what we have decided to do was, and they'll be back next year for more, and that's when potentially all of council could join in on this, because it is an event, like I said, hosted for everybody. But right now what I'm doing is moving to give them some seed money so they can actually get started buying a few things and actually be able to get themselves rolling, as opposed to waiting more so to the last minute in the next cycle. So first off, I'd like to ask council's indulgence to suspend the rules in order to hear this application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Secondly,
okay, we have motion to suspend the rules.
And then secondly, I would like to make a motion to give Newcastle County Police $1,000 earmarked specifically for National Night Out.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to give them Newcastle County Police $1,000 for National Night Out supplies. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, it's passed, no opposition. And so, do I have a motion to return to regular order of business?
Motion to return to regular order.
All right, second. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, we're back in on the regular rules. Moving along, Historic Village of Marshallton Civic Association, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, this is the community days that they have at least every other year. It's in the Village of Marshallton, and they're requesting $1,500.
I'm going to put that in the form of a motion.
I'd like to make a motion, thank you.
Second.
I'd like to make a motion of $1,500. Now I was just looking at Joe. That's right the whole time. $1,500 for community days, please.
Second.
All right, motion and second. Discussion? Did you want to say
please? He might have to wait.
Okay.
Yeah, the discussion. I'd like to donate some money to Councilman Sheldon.
Sure.
Give you half, $750.
That sounds good.
Okay, the grant will be split between Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Reddick for $750 so the total amount is $1,500.
Correct.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, grant is approved for the Historic Village of Marshallton Civic Association Community Day. Hills of Skyline Civic Association, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, we did one last year, $500. They did a very good job. They had a community days, and that's what they're accepting this one into. So they requested $250 for the entranceway and cutting the grass in the park area that they have.
We're putting the motion.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. $250 for the Hills of Skyline Civic Association.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, it's granted as approved for the Hills of Skyline Civic Association. Metropolitan Urban League, Council President Bullock.
Make a motion that we support the $800 table sponsorship for the event that was held a few weeks ago that honored Penrose Hollins with the Lions and Legends prestigious award. Make a motion.
Second.
There was second. Motion is second. And this describes 8 supporting members of County Council, Council President Bullock, myself, Tackett, Weiner, Bell, Retta, Powers, and Sheldon for $100 each for a total of $800.
Correct.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Nope. Not voting.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant is approved. Really a great evening. I was there. Great to see one of our great members of County Council, Penrose Hollins, honored in the appropriate fashion. And I know Councilman Retta, Councilman Sheldon, myself, Councilmember Kilpatrick were all there with the Council President and Councilman Street as well. Great evening for everybody concerned. Hard in the game through the Delaware Community Foundation, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I think everybody, for the most part, is familiar with Greer Firestone and the Hard in the Game that actually brings the testing. You know, we knew several years ago that it touched us indirectly through the halls through one of our aides' sister and his daughter, but it actually brought to light the fact that of the testing for, you know, students in our schools, that, you know, it's not there. So what this does is goes into the schools, and it does the actual testing for our students, and really brings a very interesting on a lot of the results that they found out there that really didn't even know it exists, more so even with their own daughter who had a heart attack and actually was unresponsive, had no heartbeat, anything, you know. So it's really something like that touches you personally that really motivates, you know, or motivates you to champion a cause so much like this. So I'm moving to give them $2,300.
Motion and a second.
$2,350.
All right. Motion and a second for $2,350 for Hard in the Game through the Delaware Community Foundation. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right. Grant is approved for $2,300 to do screenings. Electrocardiogram screenings.
Yes.
Okay, for student athletes.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you. $2,250. Yes. Like it says on the sheet.
Yeah.
Okay. We are an expense and revenue roundtable. Part of other. Anybody coming forward under expense and revenue roundtable? I don't see any interaction. We're going on to other. Is there any other commentary, issues, concerns? Moving forward to public comment. Anything under public comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The Administrative Finance Committee meeting of June 10th is adjourned.